Hey, let's pray. Father, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you and we put them into your hands. We ask that you do what you want with them, Lord. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. For the past couple of weeks, we've been going through the list of six things that make Christian fellowship church fellowship. Remember, all church is fellowship, at least in theory, but not all fellowship is church. These six qualities that we've been looking at distinguish church from other forms of fellowship. This morning, I want to take a look at the next item up on our list. Church fellowship provides all with the opportunity to use their individual God-given gifts and talents in a place when they're needed. See, Ben? Church fellowship offers each of us a setting in which we can minister to others in the way that we individually are uniquely qualified by God to do through the gifts He gives each of us. And a gift is any ability God gives you to bless the church, to bless His people. As we've seen in the past, Scripture makes it abundantly clear what our responsibilities are for each other. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." We were crafted by God to be an extension of His will and to be an extension of His purpose, to be a literal part of His resolve. We were created, saved, and sanctified to do good works, to do the things that the Father does, to express His heart with our actions for others. By definition, good works are done for other people. God designed us for good works so that we would walk in them, so that they would be a part of our everyday existence. The fiber of our being, wherever we go, whatever we do, they are a part of us, an expression of who we are and whose we are. God's purpose is fulfilled when our abilities connect with our actions and care for others. Titus 2:14 says, speaking of God who gave Himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself, for His own a people, for His own possession, zealous for good deeds, redeemed and purified, so we can be possessed by God and used. This is our purpose, to share in our Father's family business, to do what we can with what we've been given. The more we do, the more you will be given. Titus 3:8 tells us to be careful. Make sure you do this, to engage in good deeds, like you would engage a transmission to go forward. It's there. Push the clutch in, put it in gear and go. You see, God didn't give you a Corvette to sit in the driveway and look fast, nor a pickup truck to keep the bed clean. What He gave you, He expects you to use. When your journey is over and you hand back the keys to what God has given you, the higher the mileage, the more worn the tires, the more bugs on the windshield, the more pleased He is going to be with you. Now, as I noted, we've looked at good works at some depth previously. We had 5 messages back in 2013, straight through good works. This morning's message is about what empowers you to do the good works you were created and prepared to do. Gifts. What He called you to do, He equips you to do. Hebrews 13:20-21. Equipped you, God, equipped you in every good thing to do His will. Working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. God equipped you to do His will for His glory with gifts of ability. The good works God created us to do, He equipped us to do individually and collectively as a church. He equipped each of us with gifts to minister to the church with. We are a self-healing, self-evaluating, self-correcting entity. Whatever we need, we should be able to find here, through, and in each other. We are all we've been given to face the trials of this life. And what we've been given is more than enough to get us through them with victory. You have the power and the ability to help someone sitting here with you when they need it, in the way they need it. You have a gift that will meet a need. This power, this gift, it doesn't come from you. It comes from God. He grants each of us the ability to help another and he helps perfect that ability over time. You get better at it as you do it. Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace to abound in you, so that, always having sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for good deeds." 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass." We know what we've been called to do, and he brings it to pass. Just as our God calls us to salvation and brought it to pass through Jesus Christ, he calls us to good works, and he will bring them to pass through the gifts that he grants to each of us through the Holy Spirit. You have been empowered by God to meet a need, and you will not feel complete in your walk with Jesus Christ until you are using the gift God gave you to help the church, the body of Christ. Now this brings us to the part where we connect these individual gifts from God to church fellowship. Because Scripture constantly and consistently links the utilization of personal spiritual gifts to a communal spiritual environment, to church. Having an ability without the opportunity to use it is futility. We aren't given the keys to a car so we can sit in the driveway and honk and wave as people walk past us. We're given the keys so we can go where the people who need what we have are located. Fortunately for us, God has gathered all those who need what you have in one place, church. Likewise, the ones you need will be there also. Now, I'm not saying we have no obligation to take the good news to the world, nor that we have no obligation to care for the sick and feed the hungry or value the disregarded wherever they are. But we have been gifted to minister to the saints so that we can all do those things in as dynamically as possible, so that we can do those things we are gifted to help the church. Generally speaking, your spiritual gifts were meant to be unwrapped under the church tree. By design, church is where the people who need you are. The church is where the gifts are to be enacted. It is a dispensary, the drop-off and distribution point of all spiritual gifts. It is the place where individual, God-given abilities congregate to meet the many individual needs of others. Church should be the place where what is needed can be found. What one cannot do, another surely can. You cannot be fulfilled in your Christian walk without using the gifts God gave you to help others. And you cannot use them if you are not where they are needed. Hence, you cannot be fulfilled in your Christian walk without church, without church fellowship. The true joy of church is not in getting what they have, but in giving what you have. It gives meaning to your existence in a world that offers little meaning. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We're not given gifts to help us through our battles. We're given gifts to help others through theirs. Every gift comes from the same place, and it is designed for the same purpose. They come from God to help the body, the whole we are individually a part of in church. If you're not committed to the body, what are you part of? Who can you help with your gifts? What common good do you serve? Remember, this letter was written to a church, the one in Corinth. Paul also wrote to the church in Ephesus in 4:15-16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. All of us are to grow up, become more than what we were. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We cannot be all we can be as a church without you being all you are as an individual. We need you to grow, to be built up in the love of God. We need you using your gifts for us. Once again, this was written to a church. What you supply to it builds it up. So if you don't supply it to a church, it won't be built up. We go nowhere without you. That's how important you are. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11, an open letter to all churches. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving with the strength which God supplies, so that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Gifts are given to you for others. We need the gifts each other has. They bind us to one another. We are to employ, what a beautiful word, the abilities we were given for the good of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, using your gifts is serving others, brings help to those who need it, and it brings glory to God. When the world sees how we help each other, how we treat each other, it shows them God. Take your gifts seriously, no matter what they are, because there is no qualifier between the gifts. All are necessary. All are equal. The one that is needed now is always the one that is most important. Necessity breeds value. Church fellowship proves your value to the kingdom of God, no matter what your gifts and abilities are. Church fellowship proves you are necessary. Everyone wants a sports car until they need a truck. What everyone really wants is a friend with a truck. Few people pray for the gift of service. People usually aren't fasting so they can bless the church with the gift of plumbing. But once a water line breaks, the value of a gift of plumber becomes obvious to all. My sermons mean nothing if those who are called and gifted to pay the bills and balance the books fail to embrace their ministry to us. I can't preach if church doors are closed because the power is shut off. Everyone wants the gift of generosity. God, give me a pile of money so I can bless others with it, without considering the obligations that come with it. Because with all gifts, what you do with little, you will do with much. And to whom much is given, much is expected. God puts no range of value on the gifts he gives to the church. Neither should we. Value is determined by how a gift is used, not what it is. 1 Corinthians 12:19-27. If they were all one member, and by member he means body part, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. What it's saying is God has evened it out. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it to be lifted up, but God has so composed the body, put it together. He has so composed the membership at Mary S. Brown, think of it that way, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there would be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. No matter what they do, they're doing it because they care. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. God composes church membership, both universally and individually, here at Mary S. Brown. Who's here is here because he sent them here, in such a way that all the needs would be met by each other's gifts. And of course, if they can't, he'll send another church to help out. Part of where God sends you to engage in church fellowship is based on what you can do for that church. It is why you feel like you belong there. They need what you've been given to give. And you need what they have. And you need to give what you've been given. You won't be complete without it. There is no place of special honor that is granted to any particular gift. Because, as I said, the honor isn't in what you have, but in how you give it away. God does not judge you on the hand you were dealt. He dealt it. He judges you on how you play the hand He has given you. We also need to realize that we learn to recognize and use our gifts. It takes some time to see our unique value to the body. God gives the gifts. He prepares you to use it, and He provides the opportunity for you to express it. And God is patient. He knows it takes time. He allows us to study the hand He has dealt us before we play it. But there does come a time when we have to ante up and play. It comes to use 'em or lose 'em. If we refuse to give away what you've been created, saved, and sanctified to give, if you exist in church fellowship only to get, and there are times, and those times could be years, when that is what you are here for. You need it. That's understandable. This is not between you and me or anybody else in here. This is between you and God. It's understandable there are times when you just need to be ministered to. If you don't do what you were called to do, if you do not do the good works you were saved to do through the gifts He gives you, you will lose your joy and you will stifle your sense of purpose. And God will bring in someone else who will do what you were called to do. The need will be met by any means necessary. His word does not come back void. What He wants done gets done. You lose the blessing. Luke 12:48 says, "From everyone who's been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." The word "required" means to ask back, to give an account for what was given. This principle applies broadly throughout our lives, including the gifts you're given to minister to the body of Christ. The principle is expanded further, and the consequences made clear in Jesus' parable of the talents found in Matthew 25. In this parable, Jesus states that a master was going away, and then he entrusted his three servants with abilities, powers, and responsibilities to care for his concerns, to be about his business. It says the master entrusted his possessions to them. Now I ask you, what are God's possessions? If you don't know, look at 1 Peter 1:29. It's the people sitting in this room. It's noteworthy that he gives each servant a different measure of responsibility and power, compatible with their level of faith. He doesn't ask anybody to do anything they can't do. Romans 12:6-7 says, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Do what you can with what you have. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith, in service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Isn't it beautiful that showing mercy is a gift for the church? Because somebody in here needs to teach us how to do it. Romans 12:3 states, "To judge ourselves based on the faith we have been granted." Speaking of judging yourself, it says, "But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Don't judge yourself by what somebody else is doing. Judge yourself by what you've been called to do. Point is, God doesn't give you what you cannot handle. He knows what faith you have, and He deals with you accordingly. But what He blesses you with, He expects a return from. Because in the parable, the master gives 5 talents, 5 gifts, think of them that way, to one, 2 to another, and 1 to another. Each according to his ability, it says. When these 5, 2, and 1 are doled out, it's because it's what they can handle. He knows. To the one who was given 5 and the one who was given 2, they invested what they had been given, put it out there to make more, and each doubled what they had been entrusted with. But the one who was given 1 talent buried it in a hole for safekeeping. When the master returns, it said he settled accounts. What a beautiful phrase. And think about that. He settles accounts. What I've given you, you're going to have to account for. When all accounts were settled, the servant who had 10 talents, who had doubled his 5, was given the 1 talent from the one who did nothing with it. Verse 29 says, "For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away." And by the way, we should know that what abundance is given for, we just read that before, you're given abundance so you can bless. In other words, I took it off of him, gave it to him, because he's going to send it out there and bless somebody with it. He isn't given more because he has more, but because he did more with what he was given. Take your gifts seriously, because God does. Your gifts, your desire to help others, should compel you towards church fellowship. If you are not enacting them anywhere, you are not complete in your walk, and you should be extremely uncomfortable. I'm not saying come here. I'm saying going somewhere where you can use your gifts. If you are not engaged in church fellowship somewhere on a consistent basis, you are burying what you've been given in a hole in the ground. It doesn't need to be kept safe. It can only be lost if you don't use it. You cannot opt out of your gifts nor the ministry to the church that these gifts produce. You don't have a choice in this matter. The hand cannot say to the body, "You don't need me." Gifts and abilities are given to you because they are needed by the church. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts, the calling of God, are irrevocable." It speaks for itself. Romans 1:11-12. Paul wrote, "For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established." That's what he's telling the church. "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by each other's faith, both yours and mine." Paul needed to be encouraged by the church in Rome through their gifts. In the opening of his letter to the church of Rome, Paul tells them what he longs to do, establish them with gifts that will encourage them, and him too, with faith that has grown from the fellowship of the church. Of course, you can choose to use your gifts anywhere. You can use them at work to get ahead, use them in a social setting to charm the ladies or the lads, or use them for personal enrichment or advancement. But it is in the church where the gifts take on a deeper meaning and have their most profound impact. It is where they were designed to be used. Church is where ability becomes ministry and where love is proven by labor. Ministering to the saints is how our joy is made full and how our peace is attached to our souls. If you don't have joy, if you don't have peace, do something for somebody. Church is the natural habitat of the gifts that were the product of good works that we were created, saved, sanctified, and empowered to do. If we can't do them here, we can't do them anywhere. Using our gifts for the body allows us to experience our purpose and to feel the meaning, not just of this life, but to feel the meaning of our eternal existence, to reach out beyond what we can see, to feel it. We were saved by grace through faith to minister to others through the good works we have been gifted by God to do for His people. He has empowered us to do what He would do for the reasons He would do it. We are our Father's sons. It's our destiny. Church fellowship brings us a little closer to this. Each Sunday, week by week, month by month, year by year, grow where you are planted and bless the place where you grow and bring glory to your God. Amen. Next week, we may finish up with church fellowship next week. We're going to take a look at providing for those in your church and other churches, and providing a platform for the sacraments and rituals of our fellowship. Amen.